in and open my arms, lifting her for a deep, claiming kiss. You never apologize for that, I say against her mouth. Never, sweetness, promise me. She melts into my embrace, resting her forehead on mine. I promise. Her thin brows spring up, excitement gilding the gold in her eyes. Do you still want your treat? I choke out a laugh. Here? She nods, utterly serious, and starts to struggle out of my arms. For a moment, I'm confused and a little bit worried. I mean, if my girl wants me, I don't ever want to say no. But I'm not sure if my alpha can handle having her perfume here, knowing strangers like that reporter are hanging around, not to mention the rest of my younger, unbonded teammates. My apprehension fades as she turns and bends to pick up a small plastic container with a mint-green handle. It's just about the size of my palm, perfectly portioned to contain exactly one cupcake. Glowing with pride, she presents the treat to me. It's your favorite, she tells me. Chocolate with cream cheese frosting. And I swear to God, somehow this single cupcake is even better than a blowjob. Because it's her. This is how she shows she cares about people. She made this for me. Her smile is everything. I feel it reverberate through my chest, down into my soul, knowing, in that moment, that I have fallen so impossibly in love with her. It's perfect, pretty girl, I murmur, taking my treat and offering her my free hand. Let's go home. Chapter 37. Cassian. This has been a long time coming. Honestly, when Smith finds me sitting at the kitchen island in the middle of the night, waiting for him to walk in, I'm shocked he seems even marginally surprised. Of course I'm here to call his ass out. Who does he think he is? As if we didn't sleep in the same house growing up. As if we didn't claw our way up from the gutter to build this one together. The back door falls shut behind him. His brows arch. Cass, what are you doing down here? I crack my knuckles, staring at him over the spotless expanse of the kitchen island. This place really is immaculate. Remy must be working herself to the fucking bone. The thought puts a growl into my voice as I pin him with a glare. Waiting. Smith scowls, sighing. Cassian, it's after midnight, and I haven't even eaten. But you will, I cut in. Because Remy left you a plate. Made you a special meal, actually, since Dee and I ate with the team and she had dinner with her friends. I turn, pointing at the stove. So, she stood there and prepared a whole ass meal for you. The ungrateful asshole who won't even talk to her. He opens his mouth, but I cut him off. You forced her to move in here, I shout. You barked her out of her home and put her in a dusty spare bedroom with no nest. Last week, I found her in my closet, Smith, hiding because of you. He swallows, but doesn't move to speak again. Instead, he drops his briefcase and slips his hands into his pockets, nodding at me to continue. My next statement hits him like a bullet. She was harassed tonight by a reporter. It happened in the tunnels after the game. She was waiting there for us, alone, because you weren't there. Charred coffee swells to fill the room. He speaks through his teeth, barely moving his lips. Is she all right? I checked her over myself twice, even after seeing that the guy didn't leave so much as trace of his scent on her. I still had to talk my alpha down in order to leave her upstairs. She's fine, I mutter, trying to convince myself as much as him. Damon drew her a bath. His glower deepens. Are you sure you shouldn't be up there? Is Damon capable of controlling himself? The question infuriates me, because anyone who had observed Remy with Damon would find it ludicrous. But he actually seems concerned, which shows just how out of touch he is. Have you even seen her with Damon? I ask, spewing all the vitriol I've been storing up over the last week. He's been taking care of her every damn day, cuddling with her, watching her shows, listening to audiobooks so he can follow along with whatever she's reading. He's a good fucking alpha to her. It's bullshit that you don't know that. You should be here, watching, and finding a way to be a part of this too. He ducks his head like he's dodging a physical blow. I see it then. The tension in every line of his entire body. His jaw, clenched so hard I can hear his teeth grit. She's perfect, Smith. So goddamn beautiful and sweet and just... Fuck! What is wrong with you? Don't you want her? How are you avoiding her like this? I demand. It's Damon's turn to sleep in that shitty-ass bed you threw her in, and I'm climbing the walls because I can't be with her. Don't you feel it? He's going to mutter something about his rut blockers, and I'm going to have to kick his ass into next year, or he'll make excuses. The room isn't ready. He has too much going on at work to come home for dinner. She isn't complaining, so why am I? Because she never will. She's too scared that he'll reject her, send her away, take yet another home away from her. Because he's hurting her, and I am her protector. He opens his mouth, and I swear to God I'm ready. Ready to pummel him or challenge his leadership. But then he says the two words I never thought he would. You're right. My entire face crumples. What? You're right, he repeats. I've been out all day, thinking about this. Her. He raises his dark eyes to mine, pained. Did you know she's been sneaking out of here every morning to work at the coffee shop? She's been doing what? She goes for walks, I correct, repeating what she told me. His smirk is humorless. Smart girl, he mutters. She is technically walking to the bus stop. Then she works an 8-hour shift and comes back here in time to make it seem like she's been home all day. Oh, holy shit. How did I not notice that? He's right. She's smart. She told us she likes to go for early morning walks, which isn't even really a lie. It just isn't the truth either. I collapse onto a bar stool, jamming both hands through my hair. Fuck! Smith edges closer until he's standing at the opposite end of the island, pressing both palms into the squeaky, clean, polished stone. He stares sightlessly down at the note she leaves for him each evening. Yeah, I know, he croaks, pausing. He clears his throat. The thing I can't figure out is why she feels like she needs to do all of this. She knows you adore her. And Damon, obviously. We moved her in here, took on all of her expenses. Why is she trying to do everything on her own? Why keep showing up at the shop? I glare at him, refusing to believe he's this clueless. Then it occurs to me that he might actually have no idea what she went through. Did I ever mention it? Probably not. I wouldn't have broken her confidence that way back then. And once she was gone, it would have felt like talking shit about someone I used to care about. Still cared about. We'll always care about, we'll always love so goddamn much. My chest tightens, aching as I rub my palm over my sternum and stare my brother down. Smith, think about it. Think about where she lived. His brows fold over his dark eyes. I know she has no money. I've already given her the pack's card, and she knows we'll pay for anything she... I shake my head. No. Smith. Think. She was an orphan, a true one, not like us. Compared to her, we were just unlucky. Our parents died, but at least we had parents. A home, a family. And then we had each other. She was just alone, Smith. No one wanted her, ever. Not even her own mother. Saying all of this shit, it hurts. Every word feels like a thorn torn from a tender spot at the base of my throat. They scrape out of me in rusty rasps. I used to watch her, I whisper. When other kids had visitors on the weekends, she sat at the top of the steps and saw them all go. No one ever came for her. Smith's features crease in a wince. So she's doing all of this to show that she's appreciative. The whole ripping his arms off thing Damon suggested is sounding more and more appealing. No, I grind out. She's scared. She went to foster homes. They all returned her. No one wanted to keep her. I imagine she worries you'll do the same thing. Smith snaps upright. I would never, ever send her away, he growls. I arch a brow at him. I would never, ever let you. But I'm not the one who feels insecure here. You need to figure out how to make her feel like she has a real place in this pack, especially if you ever expect to bond with her. Jesus, Smith, you won't even talk to her. You think she's going to want you inside her mind? He scowls. I'm not trying to scare her. She's afraid of me. I wave a hand at him. The way he's glaring and bellowing and pumping out waves of aggression that would bowl over a weaker alpha and swamp an omega like a tsunami. Yeah, no shit. For a long moment, Smith just stares at me. His dominance pummels my resolve, telling me to back down. But for Remy, I never will.
Chapter 38. Remy. Sometimes the only way to live without the things you want the most is to convince yourself that you didn't really want them that much in the first place. I'm an expert at it. For years, I lied to myself about my little apartment, my tinier bedroom, the closet floor nest, because I didn't want to let myself imagine this. It's a dream, wrapped up in the surreal dread of a nightmare, because it is perfect, but I don't know where I am or how I got here. Moving in a slow daze, I sit up on the huge, fluffy bed underneath me. Didn't I go to sleep in the guest room, crammed up against Damon? Where is he? And why didn't my alarm go off at 5? I don't know how, but there's sunlight streaming into this huge, rounded room, too strong to be pre-dawn light. The first thing I notice are the windows. There are 8, tall, narrow, and intricately arched, like something out of a cathedral. They fill the curved wall at my back, offering views of the front yard, backyard, and the horizon. I'm still in the pack house, my brain peeps. That's the new front walk I just had installed, and the pool repair supplies are piled out back. Whichever room I'm now in must be at the very end of the house because the view is beautiful. Treetops and golden light glowing through them. It filters into the bedroom, highlighting plush ivory linen surrounding me and the soft pink paint adorning the walls. The rug on the floor provides color. It's enormous, a pastel image of dozens of different blooms. I see that there's a coordinating duvet folded into a neat rectangle at the end of the bed I apparently slept in. It's hard to say if it's truly as large as it feels. With so much natural light reflecting off the crisp sheets, my eyes just catalog a sea of softness. There's also, I note, a canopy, or the top part of one anyway, flowing from the metal frame overhead and back down behind the white iron headboard. Even without touching anything, I can tell whoever chose all of it selected the very best of the best. Silk thin enough for sunlight to slant through it, the thick, even pile of the rug, hardwood floors that have been polished to a perfect shine, Someone even sourced molding for the doors and the ceiling to match the pretty windows. It's feminine and luxurious in a way I've only ever imagined. The more I look, the more I love it. Antique furniture that coordinates without matching, the engraved, scrolly mirror over the vanity. And, when I turn almost all the way around so I'm facing the doors again, a curved corner with three floor-to-ceiling bookshelves. I think I'm hyperventilating. Did Cassian and Damon do this? If they did, will Smith be angry? And where are they? This bed doesn't have either of their scents, and, after sleeping with both on my pillow each night, my Omega doesn't like it. A whine spills out of my throat, echoing through the big room. Remy. I jump, squawking as my hands fly out to gather sheets over my nightgown. Smith stands off to my left, leaning against the curved wall with both of his hands in the pockets of his pants. With all the natural light in here, his blonde hair and neutral suit look especially polished and handsome. Oh my God, I missed work. I somehow ended up in a new room and my phone didn't go off and now I missed work. And Smith is here to fire me or ream me out or tell me to pack my 8 boxes and get out of his... I made this for you, he says, turning to the desk beside him and picking up a silver breakfast tray. My jaw drops. With clipped footsteps, he brings it over to the bed and sets it on a nightstand within my reach. When I look down at it, my jaw unhinges. There's a latte and a flower. Is it my birthday? Do they even know my birthday? No to both, probably. Especially not this alpha. I shrink back, overwhelmed by all of the things I don't understand. Afraid this is some sort of trap. Or a test. My voice wobbles. You didn't have to do that. I can make your coffee before I leave in the mornings, and this room is... It's too big for just me. I can go back to the guest room. Did I sleepwalk in here, or... Smith frowns, the expression intimidating. I carried you in here last night. This is the Omega Suite. He turns to scowl at the entire room. It still isn't finished, he mutters. I wanted it to be done before I gave it to you. I'm shocked. Even though it makes perfect sense, of course this was all Smith. Cassian knows how much I love to read, but I can't fathom him choosing luxury linens. And Damon may have style and taste, but he would never think of tiny details like crown molding or antique doorknobs to match the dresser's hardware. Smith raises his chin slightly, the muscles in his jaw flexing while he nods to the side. Your bathroom is right in there, and the door beside it is your nest, little petal. I'm not sure if I like that nickname. On one hand, any term of endearment from this cold, distant alpha feels like a triumph. On the other, no matter what he calls me, I can't stop hearing all of the things he once snarled at me instead. Some of us have shit we need to do. We don't have all day to deal with your fucking incompetence. It's hard to reconcile that cruel alpha with the cool, composed man in front of me, until I look a bit closer and see that the muscles in his jaw are ticking. The pulse in his throat throbs, and he appears to be gripping the insides of his suit pants. He's tightly wound. It doesn't surprise me, now that I see the level of perfectionism he's capable of. No wonder he didn't have it in him to do the whole house, if this is the sort of standard he sets for himself. I'm not sure I like how much I understand that. I'm not sure I want to admit that I'm exactly the same way. Instead, I lean forward far enough to peer into the bathroom, past its open door. Just like the others, the portal is tall and broad enough for the alphas, made of solid wood and carved to match the windows. On the other side, I see an ensuite bathroom that looks more like a mini spa, or perhaps something on one of my Pinterest boards. For one, it's pink. Blush quartz countertops and a trough sink with 3 brushed brass faucets. Pale pink paint with 1 feature wall covered in modern floral wallpaper. It takes a moment for me to realize it matches the rug in the bedroom exactly. I do a double take when I see that the chandeliers also match, both gold with glass bubbles. The bathroom version is a perfectly proportionate miniature of the big one. Smith's voice sounds quieter when he speaks again. Your ensuite contains a walk-in closet, a separate room for a toilet. His voice drops lower. and a special nest entrance. My eyebrows jump. Meg's nest has its own bathroom, which honestly sounds a bit overwhelming in my opinion. It never occurred to me that I could have a traditionally sized nest with its own special entrance to my bedroom's ensuite. Huh. I bite back a rueful smile. Not only is the Alpha Hole a successful developer, he's a good developer. Smart, creative, clearly too good at his job for his own good. Yet somehow he got over whatever hurdle prevented him from finishing the rest of the pack house in order to make this room perfect. For me? It might still be a test, I remind myself. He could be watching my reaction to see how I behave, if I'm grateful enough, or worth all of this extravagance. The problem is, I cannot currently access the instincts I need to please him, because my Omega is irrationally angry about this scentless bed and my other two missing alphas. When I blink up at Smith, the grooves around his mouth carve deeper. What? He demands. What's wrong? Great, now I've made him angry. No matter what I do, I just can't seem to make him happy. Everything inside of me coils low, hiding from the frustration on his face. The tightness pulling at his features gradually goes slack. He sighs, stepping closer. Remy, I... He drops his chin, adjusting the monogrammed cuffs of his shirt, before he clears his throat and raises his head. Our eyes lock, but there's no command in his. For the first time ever, I can look at him without my insides going brittle. I would like an opportunity to fix this, starting with understanding you better. Is my mouth hanging wide open again? Yep, my Omega chirps. It sure is. So, tell me, he says, taking another step toward the bed. What's upsetting you? I want to fix it for you. My lips snap together as I try to swallow the hoarse lump rising in my throat, but he's looking at me so intently, wanting to take care of me, or at least take care of this. I force myself to speak. The bed is so nice, but it doesn't, smell right. If I weren't 10 seconds away from crying, I might think his face is sort of funny. His brows crouch low as he runs his eyes over the rumpled sheets behind me, and I can tell he hasn't got the first clue what I'm talking about. It doesn't smell right, he repeats. As in, you want new sheets, different detergent? Lord help me. But this level of alpha cluelessness is actually sort of adorable. My lips twitch as I shake my head. No, I mean, it doesn't smell like you. He blinks. Me? His incredulity steals my nerve. I bite my lower lip and sink back a bit. Or Damon. Or Cassian. It's supposed to be all three of you, not head. You know, I tell my Omega, you really need to get this entitled attitude in check. Bite me, she sniffs, since apparently no one else around here is going to. I watch as Smith processes this information and his frown recedes. Oh, of course, right. Another uncomfortable half-cough. How do we, fix that? Part of me wants to groan, because this is painful. Another part just wants to grab him by his tie and yank him onto the mattress. Instead, a startled, disbelieving laugh trips out of me. The second it happens, I start to panic. He'll think I'm laughing at him. He'll get angry. Will he take this room back? But instead, his mouth curves up in the most handsome, wry half-smile I've ever seen. One of his thick, blonde brows arches. Am I funny to you, Petal? I shake my head, trying my best to straighten out my face. No, I just... Well, to answer your question, usually alphas sleep in an Omega's bed with them, or they give the Omega items that have their scent on them. Bless his heart. He actually looks around as if he's going to magically find a basket of worn alpha clothing to hand me. Right, he mumbles. That makes sense. All right. He turns back to me, frowning, but also distinctly not angry, which is new. What else? My mind spins, trying to decide where to begin and what he's even asking for. Does he want some sort of list or a lesson on my designation? For some reason, both ideas make that coil in my center curl tighter, pulsing with hurt. Smith watches me carefully and speaks before I have to. No, he says quiet. This isn't right either. It shouldn't be your responsibility to teach me. I'll figure it out. The knot inside of me loosens a little. Are you sure? I can... He shakes his head. No, you're already doing too much, which is something I need to talk to you about. His dark eyes pierce mine. Do you want to work? Do I... Who wants to work? Then again, I guess some people do. Meg loves going into the office with Ronan. And I didn't mind my job when it was just baking all day long. Now that I'm here, though, with their amazing kitchen, it seems silly to ask him to reinstate my former position at Proper Coffee just to give me access to a decent oven. Smith reads my expression, his own softening slightly. He lifts his hand and then pauses, halting himself for a long second before he reaches over and slowly smooths his palm over my loose curls, brushing some off of my face. You don't have to go back there, Remy. Stay here. Keep making the house just the way you want it. Use that card I gave you to buy anything you want, and I mean that, anything. My brain conjures absurd images of dozens of things, outlandish stuff like yachts and small things I've never had the heart to purchase for myself, like fancy headbands. He surely can't mean anything. Besides, there's only one thing I really want, or need, rather. Smith watches my eyes skirt toward the only closed door in the large round room. Especially that. He growls low. Anything you need for your nest, you buy it. End of story. I try to ignore the stab of disappointment that hits me. We're supposed to furnish our nest together, but he doesn't know that. Or maybe he doesn't want to. That would make sense. I can't get him to come home for dinner. What are the odds he's going to want to take a whole day to shop with me? I'm guessing not great. I nod, swallowing hard. Yes, sir. The hand resting in my hair flexes. I hear his sharp intake of breath, his scent spiking. Rich warmth fills the air, and my shoulders unwind, content to have one of their scents in my space. His hand slowly slides off of me, bringing my attention to the pop of color tucked into his neutral suit's breast pocket. Like his tie, it's blush. But unlike the solid piece knotted at his throat, the pocket square looks like the one I noticed on him yesterday. Patterned. Gingham, actually. Delicate white and pink checks, silky fabric, much more cheerful than his typical masculine accessories. The fold is off, too. Instead of a simple square with crisp creases, this pocket square isn't a pocket square, because it's my missing panties, and he's wearing them as an accessory, tucked into the front of his suit jacket where everyone will see them, showing me off to the world even though no one else will ever know what they are. But I know, and when I chance a glance up at him, I know that he knows that I know. But what does it mean? Smith gives nothing away. His eyes swirl, two whirlpools of dark heat. Have a nice day, little petal, he clips, walking toward the door. Thanks for the pocket square.
Chapter 39 Smith Remy is perfect. It's a nightmare. She floats around our kitchen like she was born to be there, an angel flitting between clouds, pulling heavenly baked goods out of thin air. So far, this week, she's made bread, brownies, scones, and cupcakes. They all look and smell incredible, although nothing smells quite as delicious as her. It isn't just her kitchen prowess. It's the way she moves, the sway of her perfectly pleated skirts, a ladylike turn of her heel. She's polished and pretty. Perfection. And I can't touch her. There's one exception. Every morning, I bring her a latte in bed, and she lets me brush her hair back. I ask her what she's planning to do that day and tell her to behave. She says, "Yes, sir." And I walk out of there with a throbbing knot and her pilfered panties in my pocket. Because, yes, this Omega is so perfect, she now leaves me her panties. Without making a fuss or saying a single word to embarrass me, she simply began leaving a different pair of folded silk panties out with my dinner note each night. She must know what I do with them. She saw me do it. Yet every day I find a new offering. I've been trying to make my own in return, starting with making more of an effort to work from home when I can. Now, the kitchen table is covered in a layer of paperwork while I sit in one of the newly acquired chairs, watching her. She's in a light purple sundress today, one with a proper pleated skirt and a thin belt at her waist. Her hair hangs loose, the black curls swinging down her back, while she dips into the oven and produces a tray of muffins. An expert, she angles the pan just so to check the edges, gliding a toothpick into the center of the least browned pastry. She hums to herself while she works, the quiet strains of some pop song. It seems oddly upbeat, given the burned honey aroma in here. Remy only smells stressed when she has to be alone in a room with me. As soon as Damon swoops into the kitchen, wearing a red pair of his silky briefs and nothing else, she smiles and turns sweeter. He still frowns at her, sensing the distress lingering in the air. Before he can open his mouth, though, the cunning little Omega stretches up onto her tiptoes and presses her plump pink mouth over his. Damon groans, instantly putting his hands all over her. One grabs a fistful of her skirt, wrinkling it. I feel a vein throb in my forehead. "You look so pretty, sweetness," he tells her all soft. He rubs his cheek against hers until she beams. "Prettiest girl in the world." Yes, she really is. And she hates me. Cassian comes in next, carrying a book in one hand and his phone in the other. Now that Remy's here, he's shirtless all the time too, much more than he ever was before, though maybe she likes it that way. I wouldn't know, because of that whole hating me situation. Remy leans around Damon's bicep to smile at my brother, her blue eyes alight. "Hi, Bear." I've never seen Cass grin so much. His face stretches into a wide smile while he bends to drop a kiss on her forehead. "Butterfly, I brought you something." He hands her the book in his hand. I see he has tabs in it, marking places he wanted to share with her. That notion might make me happy for him if I weren't currently dying of envy. Remy's expression glows while she smirks. "So, funny story," she trails off, leaning over the island to pick up a different book. She hands it to him. "I got this for you." Cassian blinks at the gift before lunging for our Omega, sweeping her up onto the counter and stepping between her legs. She giggles and squeals, the sound muffled when he mashes his mouth over hers. When he's done mauling her, he presses his face into her neck. She pets his hair like it's the most natural thing in the world and holds her other hand out for Damon. "I have a treat for you too," she tells him. Dee instantly perks up, sliding in beside them. "A treat?" She nods, gesturing to the pan of fresh muffins. "They're your favorite." Damon pounces on the pan, popping two of the perfectly formed banana walnut muffins out of the silicone baking sheet. Did she bring that thing here with her? She had no nesting supplies, but packed a muffin pan. I almost smile at the thought, until I remember that I still haven't been invited into her nest. Have the others? What will happen during her heat? Omegas need their pack alphas there above all else during heats. That's a well-known fact, but I've never looked into what happens when the Omega has rejected that alpha. I, stupidly, never thought I would need to know that. I assumed our scent sensitivity would work all of this out. But that isn't happening, is it? We can't help our attraction, but there's no connection. Most days she doesn't even meet my eyes. I don't think I've ever seen her wearing a t-shirt yet. It's like she knows when I'll be around and goes out of her way to make herself into a version of herself she thinks I'll find the most palatable. Could that be a pack leader thing? Do I intimidate her? A depraved part of me wants to. Her shy sweetness radiates natural submission, and my baser urges shove at me, telling me to find out how deep that deference goes. But In the moments when I have enough blood in my brain for it to fucking work, I know none of this is good. She isn't being herself. She's still frightened of me. No matter how submissive that makes her, it isn't right. Besides, true submission is earned through trust. And the way her scent turns bitter and her fingers flinch at my proximity screams her discomfort. She doesn't trust me with her body or her heart. I don't blame her, but I think it may be time to do something drastic.
Chapter 40. Remy. Every morning, I wake up between two hard walls of muscle. Two bickering walls of muscle.
Your toes are touching me.
Cassian grumbles, tightening the forearm around my waist to bring my back flush with his chest.
Yeah, and your arm is under my pillow.
Damon smirks. Did you have a point, other than being a pain in the ass?
Shh, you're going to wake her up.
No, you're going to... I blink, finding Damon's stunning blue eyes inches away from mine. In the soft morning light, his black hair is glossy and disheveled. He winces.
Sorry, sweetness. I tried to tell Cass to pipe down.
My bear reaches around me to punch his packmate in the bicep.
Dick.
I giggle, and Damon grins, leaning close to kiss me and murmur against my lips.
Best sound in the world, pretty girl.
Cassian's face nuzzles at the back of my neck, scent marking me.
Huh?
He grunts, grumpy as ever.
You finally got me and Dee to agree on something.
I laugh again, snuggling back into Cassian's thick, solid embrace. His lips graze my shoulder lightly, followed by his teeth, eliciting a burst of perfume that has me hiding my face in my hands. Damon isn't having that, though. He plucks my fingers to the side so he can see my eyes. Still grinning crookedly, he adds his hands to the mix, sliding one down to trace my nightgown-covered curves. He glances over my head at his packmate.
I think we owe our Omega for waking her up.
There, Omega. My stomach flutters with excited tingles. Cass grinds his hardening cock across my backside, teasing me, and concurs.
It's only fair.
Heat flashes through Damon's aqua irises.
I have an idea.
I squeal as he grips my hips and rolls, yanking me on top of his big, beautiful body. Sunlight slants through the arched windows over us, pooling between his abs, highlighting the grooves carved into his pelvis. By the time I realize he has no boxers on, he's spreading my slick core over his perfectly waxed pubic bone, softly gliding the hard ridge over my slit. I moan, and he answers with a strangled sound. Beside us, Cassian huffs.
Is this for her or you?
Damon casts him an annoyed look, sighing.
The man has a point, sweetness. Putting my cock in your pretty pussy isn't exactly penance.
A spark ignites in his eyes.
Besides, I told you. I have an idea.
In one fluid ripple of movement, he lies back and pulls my body up to his face. He almost has me over his shoulders when I freeze up, protesting.
What?
I burst, my face heating.
No, I can't. I can't. Sit on my face? Gush slick all over my chin? Drown me in your sweetness?
Damon blinks up at me, all false innocence.
Why not, baby?
I cringe, shifting on my knees to hide the effect of his words. It's useless, though, when twin trails of slick roll down my parted thighs. Cassian's big hand lands on my back in a soothing caress.
If you don't want to, you don't have to, Rems. But trust me, Dee would love it.
He raises one thick brow.
Hell, I would love it.
He glances at Damon.
I bet I can get her off faster than you can.
Damon laughs, the huff of air hitting a sensitive patch just above my knee.
Like this? Good luck, Beastly.
I gape at them both, shocked and turned on by the steady, no-nonsense eagerness on both of their faces.
You both want to do that? But what if I don't know, crush you?
They look at each other and stifle laughter, but Cassian's eyes are kind when he gazes up at me.
your light, butterfly. I think both of us are capable of holding you up.
Silly. Of course they are. But I still bite my lip, looking from Cass's face to Damon's, which is just inches away from my center.
What if I suffocate you?
I blurt. His grin spread slowly.
Then on my tombstone I wanted to say, here lies the luckiest fucker on earth.
A nervous titter escapes me.
Okay, we can try it, I guess, but what about Cass?
My bear's green eyes glow.
Don't worry about me.
He and Damon share a look that can only spell trouble, but I don't have much time to contemplate it, because 10 seconds later, Damon shifts under me, scooting down to put his face right between my legs. I shake as I gaze down at him, while he stares up at the juncture of my thighs in absolute rapture.
God damn, he mutters to himself. Prettiest pussy on the planet. You smell like heaven, sweetness. Can I have it? Please?
Panties in bed have been outlawed. It was, in Damon's words, his one and only alpha power trip. I suppose that's paying off now, as he guides my hips down and finds my bare skin with his lips. Cassian's chest vibrates with a suppressed growl.
Tell me how our cunt tastes.
When I tense up, Damon chuckles. I feel his smile against my inner thighs while he mumbles,
she hates that word.
Cass looks to me for confirmation. Seeing my pout, flashes his rare grin.
Sorry, butterfly.
His eyes are light and teasing, but the squeeze he gives my thigh is sweet. I expect him to maybe get on his knees and touch me while Damon licks me, but instead, Cass reclines with his arm folded behind his head, entranced. I'm about to balk when Dee's fingers tighten on my naked hips, fisting my nightgown out of his way and tugging me straight down in one powerful motion. I gasp, his full lips and the prickle of morning stubble vibrating against my mound.
Fucking perfect,
he mutters, low and pained.
Gotta have it, pretty girl.
His tongue sweeps out at that same moment, lapping a smooth semicircle over the top of my clit. I whimper, swaying forward automatically. He hums his approval, pulling me down harder. The slick heat of his tongue tracing up and down, his thick lower lip teasing my slit, while the upper lip rubs at my clit. It feels incredible, but I can't shake the feeling that it must be uncomfortable to him. When he feels my thigh shake, he groans and pushes my hips down harder. The next lash of his tongue slips into my pussy and I whine. The sensation is so much better than I ever imagined, and being able to ride it instead of lying back makes it feel even dirtier. Cass purrs, though it sounds ragged.
That's my girl,
he praises, reaching down and pulling his thick cock from his boxer briefs.
Ride his tongue. I bet you taste like heaven.
Lapping up a fresh burst of slick, Damon growls his agreement. The sound sends a vibration over my sensitized skin. My body clenches, trying to tighten around the tease of his tongue. And then, I'm in the air. There's no time for me to panic before Cassian grabs my waist in his left hand and rips Damon's right hand away with his own. With a tug and a lift, I go from straddling Damon's face to mounting Cassian's.
What?
I start to gasp, but there's no time. Cassian latches his lips to my clit and sucking hard. Every nerve in my body sparkles, while the tension in my core coils tighter. A wail rips out of me, the sound fading into a high-pitched shriek when he begins circling his tongue around the bud he's still pulling into his mouth. Beside me, Damon pants quietly, grabbing his knot with both hands. In some distant part of my mind, it occurs to me that he isn't angry or even annoyed, which means they must have coordinated this somehow. I can't find the brain space to care how or why or what that means, as long as they don't stop. Cass purrs louder while his hands grip my bare buttocks, the thick fingers long enough to curl over each cheek. Damon watches with burning blue eyes and licks his shining lips.
Tease that tight little asshole, Cass. Oh my, ah,
Cassin's smallest finger strokes along the puckered entrance, making me buck forward.
Damon casts me a wicked grin that tightens my nipples, watching while his packmate collects my wetness and rubs over my back whole, lightly, pushing just the tip of his finger in. Everything inside of me cinches as I whine in pleasured dismay. Cassian groans deeply, releasing my clit to pull each of my pussy lips into his mouth, teeth grazing gently. With that teasing bit of fullness in my backside, everything he does feels incredible, especially when he pushes in just a bit deeper and rubs at the wall between my ass and my pussy. I perfume so hard. I feel dizzy. It has to be too much. What if he can't breathe? He hums the sound reassuring. Then he issues the only bark he's ever given me.
Drown me, Omega.
My body obeys, pouring more slick over his lips. Beside us, Damon twists two fists over his cock faster and harder. His eyes are wild as he bites back a snarl.
Give her to me.
Cassian huffs out deep breaths as he passes me back to his packmate. This time, Damon rotates me so I can watch them both stroke their cocks and fondle their knots. Damon uses two hands, one always gripping his knot or his balls while he strokes with the other. Cassian prefers one hand, but he grips harder. I wish I could pay closer attention and learn what they each like up close, but these teasing licks and deep plunges into my pussy put me right on the edge. Before long, I truly am riding both of their faces, and each time I think I'm about to tip over the edge for one of them, they pass me back to the other. When I'm covered in slick and sweat, begging Cassian to finish me off, he finally has mercy and crams two thick fingers into my pussy while the other plays with my ass. A few firm circles on my clit have me seeing stars, screaming both of their names, while the tight bundle of need in my middle releases in a hot burst of liquid pleasure. They both roar, their scent thickening, while they each get themselves off. I collapse between them, panting and shaking, right back where I started, with two muscled chests surrounding me, each immediately breaking into a purr. Where are we going? Cassian keeps his big, rough palms over my eyes, leading me from behind.
Just a little bit further.
I giggle, trying not to trip while I reach back to smooth a hand down his thigh. Can't I have a hint? His voice is grumbly and very bear-like.
No hints.
We turn to the right, going from the hallway to his bedroom, I think. I'm still not sure, exactly, since he carried me up the stairs after dinner and spun me around before turning me toward our destination.
Okay,
he husks, pressing his whole body into my back and sliding his hands from my face.
You can look.
It is his room, only it isn't really anymore. There are no more piles, and the corner where he used to have his double bed is now just as full of bookshelves as every other wall. A new oriental rug covers the tired wood floor. A lacquered wooden ladder is propped up against the shelves, and a cozy egg chair takes up the space where his mattress used to be. My lips fall open in shock.
It's our library,
he finishes matter-of-factly.
I ordered all the books we used to read and trade, plus a few dozen other ones and the stuff you had on your Amazon wish list. My leather chair can stay over there, but this egg one is for you. I figured since it has a lot of pads and pillows and... oomph.
My mouth crashes onto his, smashing the rest of his explanation. Cassian catches me around the waist and lifts me up, deepening our kiss with a low growl. When I pull back, grinning, his green eyes bounce between mine.
You like it?
I love it, I whisper. But won't you miss having your own room to sleep in? When you get sick of me and Damon and... This time he cuts me off, brushing our lips together much more tenderly than I did.
I will never get sick of you,
he murmurs.
I wanted to give you the library we always wanted, but I also wanted to show you I don't need a backup plan. Your bed is my bed now. I never want to sleep anywhere else. Because I love you, Rems. Always have. Always will.
He's always been a man of action, not words. But he knows me. He knows how many times I've been turned away. So he did the grand gesture and made sure to say the words out loud, too. Cassian waits, our gazes locked even when mine clouds with happy tears.
I love you too, Bear.
His lips quirk up, the smile soft.
I want you right here,
he tells me.
In our house, in our bed. My girl, okay?
I nod, springing up to hug his neck again.
Okay.
Chapter 41. Damon. What are you doing? Fucking rude. I know I'm not the hardest worker in the pack, but damn, Cass could at least act like the sight of me asleep on a pile of books isn't some apocalyptic omen. Half of them are from Remy's friend's Dr. Alpha. He dropped them off for me, along with some helpful research. Dude is intense with his research shit. There are tabs and neon streaks and notes and margins, which I'm sure would be excellent if they didn't all look like hieroglyphics to me. The AirPods in my ears died a long-ass time ago. Can't say I blame them. I listened to 8 straight hours of audiobooks. On the plus side, I think I might have learned something. Maybe? At some point? I look around at all the titles blinking, as if that will help to clear the way the words run together. My stomach seethes. Remy really does love books. What if I can't relate to this part of her? Will she eventually connect with the others more because I'm an idiot and she's brilliant? I can't give up this easily. She's my fucking soulmate. I'll listen to every audiobook on the planet if I have to, even the super nasally ones. For her, my ears can bleed. I don't give a fuck. Besides, if the book thing doesn't work out, that bake-off show actually slaps, so... Smith comes downstairs, frowning and muttering something about Remy being up in her nest. Then he breezes out the door, promising he'll try to be home for dinner. It hasn't actually happened yet, but maybe today's the day. He seems like he has a fire under his ass and a twitch in his left eye. Plus, he didn't even try to mock me for all the books he found me passed out on. Cass leaves next, grunting about me being a lucky asshole, because he and the other defenders all have to be fitted for new gear today, while I have the morning off. The house is too quiet. I decide it's probably a sign I should be doing my conditioning in our home gym, but some weird instinct stops me. It starts as a prickle at the base of my scalp, tiptoeing up my nape. Difficult to describe, other than the indistinct sense that I'm needed somehow. A minute later, the faint whine of insistence becomes a scream of urgency. Leaping to my feet, I streak right upstairs. I'm coming, pretty girl. Turns out my alpha is maybe a bit dramatic. When I burst into Remy's suite, I find her struggling with a bra? I stop on the threshold, gobbling up the side of her topless body while she twists and huffs, fed up with the straps on her shoulders. As soon as she hears me chuckle, she freezes. Damon, I'm changing! Shy sweet thing, like she wasn't riding my face into oblivion the other day. Sorry, sweetness, I tell her, strolling over to help. What's the problem with this bastard? He giving you trouble? She flashes her blue-gold eyes over her shoulder, smirking. You're giving me trouble. But yes, the strap is too tight. I agree, nodding. You should definitely just burn it and never wear one again. A bit of color touches her cheeks, but then everyone would see how small my boobs actually are. I click my tongue at her, and she narrows her eyes, challenging me. Oh, come on! You have to admit, they're small. She's right. Everything about her is dainty, even her curves. As far as I'm concerned, she's exactly perfect. I tilt my head at her. Okay, sure, but that's like saying ice cream is cold while neglecting to mention how fucking delicious it is. I bend my head and nuzzle between her tits, groaning quietly. So fucking delicious. It's a crime to cover these beauties with bras. Remy giggles. If I burned all my bras, everyone would see my nipples, she whispers, eyes dancing, and you and I would have to bury the bodies of all Cassian's victims. Good point, because he would definitely murder anyone who stared at her tits too long. I help her get her strap to work and watch while she pulls a light blue blouse over her head. When she's covered, I pull her into my arms and hug her securely, mumbling a confession. I thought something was wrong. I had a weird feeling. She goes still, peering up at me.
I actually was upset before you walked in.
It doesn't take a genius for me to see why. She has all sorts of packages strewn around her room, half opened. There are even a few propped in front of her nest. I feel a giddy wave of anxiety just looking at them, so God only knows how she feels. A solution comes to me, so simple that I know it must be brilliant. Put some jeans on, sweetness. I have an idea.
Chapter 42. Remy. Damon looks exactly the way you would imagine a pro athlete to look driving his convertible. Cool and stupidly gorgeous. Or maybe I'm the stupid one, because it's all I can do not to openly gape at him. After telling me to change into jeans, he ran off and returned in a pair of his own, along with the softest gray sweater. It's late March, not nearly cold enough for sweaters in Florida, but he made me grab one before he escorted me down to his Audi. While my curls fly everywhere, his thick black hair remains slicked into his usual carelessly coiffed style. Equally dark aviators shield his eyes as he laces our fingers together and steers one-handed through the curving roads that lead to town. Maybe he wants to go shopping, I fret. That would be ill-advised since I finally broke down a couple of days ago and went on a late-night online ordering binge. With Cassian and Damon at an away game on the other side of the state and Smith doing his usual work-late routine, it was my first night in the pack house alone. Normally, I would have hidden in my nest until one of them came home, but the nest is still an entirely empty round room with a bare mattress built into the floor, hence the panicked shopping. While I chew on my lip, Damon whips us into a parking lot at the back of what looks like an old warehouse. It's huge, made of white metal. When I raise a brow at him, he cocks a crooked grin and squeezes my palm.
Come on, pretty girl. I want you to play with me.
I really should have known.
Size 7?
Damon, still grinning as he dangles a pair of skates in front of me. I nod, doing my best not to openly pout. Apparently, I fail because he chuffs a laugh as he drops to his knees and starts to remove my sandals for me.
Cassian told me you had a bratty side, but I didn't believe him.
Damon snorts.
I approve, for the record.
It's my turn to giggle. That's because you're a brat. His megawatt smile somehow gets even more dazzling.
Only all the time.
I'm not sure how he does it, but this alpha always knows exactly what to do to stop my anxiety dead in its tracks. I often find myself laughing with him, unable to remember what I was even worrying about minutes before. But this time, the thing I'm worried about is sort of strapped to my ankles.
I don't know how to skate,
I whisper. It's something I haven't told any of them because I assume they would be disappointed. But Damon keeps smiling as he stands, dusting his hands off and moving to tug off his own shoes.
I figured he needed a tutor, sweetness. This is me volunteering. Insisting, actually, because once we start popping out babies, I'm signing them all up for hockey.
Babies? When I blink in dismay, his grin takes on a wry edge.
Too soon?
I nod. He shrugs his stacked shoulders, unbothered.
Inevitable, right?
If he wasn't currently blowing my mind in a whole different manner, I might be mind blown at the way he can somehow put skates on while standing up, in 40 seconds flat.
I mean, he continues, bending down to flatten his hands on either side of my thighs,
until his perfect face is looming right in front of mine, aqua eyes snapping with electricity.
I'm your alpha, right?
A dizzy thrill streaks through me.
Yes?
He says, smirking. His hands find mine, pulling me up to my feet as he straightens himself out.
And you want a family, right?
We're moving, walking toward the empty ice rink. Or rather, he's walking backward, and I'm sort of gracelessly stumbling while he holds most of my weight on his forearms. Right?
I squeak, my eyes darting to the ice that's only a few feet away now.
Damon, are we allowed to be here? What if...
He stops on a dime, letting my body tumble right into his. Even balanced on skates, he catches me easily and pulls me right up into his arms. My legs cling to his waist, the skates accidentally knocking his backside. He doesn't mind. Not even when I wind my arms around his neck and cling to him like a child having their first swimming lesson. I glare down at the ice. He laughs and kisses my nose. God damn, you're cute. Though I do feel like I should be insulted. Don't you have any faith in me at all? As if to prove his point, he glides onto the ice while balancing my weight. Effortless, smooth as that grin of his. He skates backward lazily, almost indolent. Teasing me, I realize. Showing me just how silly it is to be afraid of skating with the likes of him around.
And to answer your question,
he murmurs, ducking to put us face to face again.
This is the rink the local minor league team uses. They're on the road this week, so I knew it would be empty. I pay the maintenance crew to let me use it sometimes. When we're done, I'll text them and someone will come smooth things over. No one will ever know we were here.
I turn my head, looking around. The rink really isn't small. It's a huge warehouse-type room, almost a miniature of the arena the Timberwolves use, without all the fancy bells and whistles like the enormous Jumbotron or the panels of screens along the walls. This place is simple, almost cozy, despite the size and the endless rows of empty bleachers.
It reminds me of what I thought high school would be like.
I breathe.
This is how it always looked on TV.
Damon nuzzles his face into mine. The gesture is comforting. He must know that Omegas without guardians don't get to go to school.
I would have had the biggest crush on you, pretty girl.
I bite my lip, imagining him back then. He must have been uber popular, fun and athletic and gorgeous, with that scoundrel's grin to boot.
Somehow I highly doubt that.
Damon gives me side-eye, his aqua blue irises contrasting those shiny black lashes and his pale skin.
Psst! Trust me, I would have sat behind you in class and watched your pretty hair bounce around your shoulders and your cute little fingers arranging all your notes. I bet you would have had a special color highlighter for every class.
My cheeks glow because he's right. Before my designation came in, that's exactly how I was. Damon chuckles, kissing my blush.
Adorable.
I want to cringe.
I was a bit of a
total dork.
Nerd.
You wouldn't have thought I was lame? He frowns.
What? No way. It's fucking sexy how smart you are, sweetness. And I like the buttoned-up prim teacher's pet vibe. Makes corrupting you even more fun. Plus, you have to know by now that Cass has been in love with you forever.
My heart pounds. Cassian has only said those words to me a few times, but every night when he gathers me into his arms and hugs me, I swear I can feel them. The same way I used to when he was just my friend, huddling into my side for warmth on those cold rooftop mornings. He isn't a wordy person, but he always makes me feel cared for. So does Damon, with the way he actively engages in all of my hobbies and constantly checks in with me. Smith, on the other hand... Sometimes I think Damon may be the smartest of them all. He seems to be, to read all of our minds, staring at me just a second too long before he sighs. The warm gust tingles over my chilly cheek.
Do you think you'll ever forgive him?
His question confuses me for a moment. All this time, I felt like I had to please the pack alpha, convince him of my worth. But ever since the first morning that he brought me coffee, Smith has seemed... sorry. Like maybe I'm the one rejecting him instead of the other way around. And you know what? Maybe I should be. Maybe I am. Because if the way Damien and Cassian treat me is the right way for an alpha to treat their omega, then I think I have every right to be furious at Smith. Not to mention all of the things he did before we knew we were supposed to be mates. I try for a joke, pasting on a smile I don't quite feel, and replying with a question of my own.
Do you think he'll ever apologize?
Heaving out a deep breath, Damon turns us in an easy circle.
I'm not sure he knows how to. Not out loud, anyway. He'll just work himself to death to make up for everything. It's the only way he thinks he can.
With money. It's another astute observation, one I've caught on to myself. Every time we've ever been alone together, Smith tries to ply me with material wealth, offering me anything and everything, without really giving me anything.
What do you think I should do?
I ask quietly. Damon spreads his feet and arches us in a wide curve, spinning to a smooth stop. His face leaps in surprise.
Me?
Yeah, I whisper, stroking his cheek with my cold fingers. You're so much better at relationship stuff than the rest of us, Dee. What do you think? The question seems to shock him. I've noticed that the others don't ask his opinion very often, which is silly because he has the highest emotional intelligence in the pack by a mile. Then again, he diffuses conflicts and solves problems so smoothly, I doubt they even notice he's doing it. He drops his forehead to mine and nuzzles there, scent marking me, the way he does every time I seem even the least bit uncertain. He's sweet, in a way I never expected. Between his crooked grin and bedroom eyes, I thought he'd only want to give me one thing. But Damon gives me everything he has, and I might be more than a little bit in love with him. I think, he starts, speaking slowly, as if testing the words. I think that only you can decide what feels safe to you, and that's all that matters to me. He kisses my cheek softly, adding, but I hope he figures his shit out, so you can forgive him one day. Because all of us together? Shit, sweetness. That's everything I ever wanted, and never had. My heart pinches as I nestle my fingers into the hair at the nape of his neck. What do you mean? He sighs, moving his feet again. The ice beneath us gets carved to ribbons before he finally answers. My parents were assholes, he finally says. I left them, when I was 15. My fingers freeze. But where did you go? His sad smile is a weak approximation of his usual grin. Here and there, I had a lot of friends, slept on a bunch of couches, ate a lot of free cafeteria food. Likely because he was just as charming back then as he is now. That's fortunate, I guess, but I hate that he felt he had to take care of himself like that. Did they? I can only imagine one reason why I would ever leave a home with parents. But I know I come from a very different perspective on this sort of thing. Did they hurt you? Damon's shoulder lifts in a shrug, but his features harden. Sometimes. Not a lot. Usually not on purpose. They were both drug addicts. Or are. I don't really know. I haven't spoken to them in more than 10 years. When I left, they didn't exactly come running after me. My arms tighten immediately, hugging him around the neck. Dee, I'm so sorry. Damon cuddles me, securing his muscled arms around my back and nestling his face into my hair. When he closes his eyes and rests there, everything inside me melts. Thank you, he says, into my skin. It was a long-ass time ago. I'm mostly better about it now. I get what he means when he says mostly. I've mostly gotten over being abandoned at birth. I'm an adult now, and I can understand rationally why people give children up. But that doesn't make Christmas alone hurt any less, or other occasions. I try to paste on a bright smile, ignoring the pang echoing behind my breastbone. Damon's ice blue eyes trace over my expression. After a long beat, he narrows them slightly. Tell me something, he requests. Tell you something? A spark lights his gaze. Yeah, something you don't think I want to hear. My lashes flutter, confusion quirking my brow. Why would I do that? Damon spins us quickly, flashing his crooked grin. Because I think you keep a lot of things to yourself so you don't upset us. I want you to tell me something real and true that you think I won't like, so I can prove to you that you are my Omega, all the time, no matter what. My heart rips in two, fear and longing tugging it